Okay, this is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, the girl gaming and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this is episode 7, Sporticus.
That's a good title.
Thank you. You know, I was working around, I was like, Sportalicious, and then it just came to me, mostly because I haven't seen Spartacus in a long time. But I have seen that Pepsi commercial where we're like, we got a lunch bag here with like a Pepsi, and the name on it is Spartacus.
Spartacus? I was totally thinking of that commercial.
And I was thinking of that commercial as well, and I was like, ah, Spartacus. See, because I'm clever.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That was
You're
sarcasm.
The creative one in this mix.
Oh, you're pretty creative, too.
Yeah.
Don't let Pandalicious fool you people. I've seen her artwork. She's talented. She just doesn't think she is, but I know she is.
I'm not that talented. My proportions are wrong, but that's another podcast.
But they still look good. Okay? If it wasn't for Illustrator, I couldn't draw a straight line. And even then, I gotta really use the Illustrator to make my line straight. I gotta zoom in.
See, I use a ruler.
See, I gotta like zoom in like 800% and go, yep, no jaggies. Okay, that's straight.
Wow. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I tell you, if I could get the stuff in my head out through my hand, oh.
Dude. I know, me too.
It'd be on like Donkey Kong. But anyway, we need to handle some business as usual.
What else?
Here on the front end. Because as you know from visiting the website, we are starting our weekly sweepstakes.
Yay!
We're giving away candy, y'all.
Yummy.
And we have to announce our first winner.
Yay, we have a winner.
We have a winner.
Woohoo!
Yes. So, Nutsy Waterbelly, you got candy!
Yeah, and it's going to be really yummy, too. I just hope it doesn't melt.
Yeah, we need to think of something better to say. I don't like you got candy. Maybe be like, candy, bitches! I don't know. Something.
We'll work on it.
But Nutsy, you win. So Yay. Your candy will be in the mail to you shortly. We'll be in contact to get all your information. But congratulations for posting.
Congratulations!
Hitting us up. We still haven't gotten any entries for our Wicked Retarded thing.
No.
But you people need
Come
to step
on,
it up. You need to step it up because...
It's fun.
We're about...
joshing with you.
Yeah, you're a little close to your mic there. When you did the joshing thing, it kind of washed out. I was like, damn, I'm going deaf now.
Sorry.
And now I shall be deaf.
Was,
no, it's okay.
Good?
I understand. You're excited. I'm excited. Yeah. It's an exciting period. So I'm stepping it up. To get some Wicked Retarded calls. We're going to give away not only candy, but you're going to get a t-shirt.
T-shirt.
Yeah, I'm in the process of designing the first ever ESH, Electric Sisterhood, t-shirts.
Yippee!
Because the avatars are in. Well, most of the avatars.
We're
still waiting on an avatar for Magic Mystic. I think Evermore wants to get in on the deal and get an avatar too. So, but we can do the initial sisterhood t-shirts. So, if you want to be one of the first on your block to rock the ESH t-shirt, and you know you do,
maybe the first in your state,
okay,
your country, even
you know you want to. You need to start calling us up and give us your best. Bostonian, Wicked Retarded.
Come on.
On our
guys.
Toll-free number. And that number is 1-888-333-8985. It's a free call. You could win candy and a t-shirt. Who doesn't like winning free stuff?
I know, I like to win.
I like it a free stuff.
See, every morning I wake up, I win a free breakfast. I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. Sure you don't.
That was a joke, guys.
That's another podcast. That's another podcast altogether. So we definitely want to hear your Wicked Retarded. But the t-shirts are on the way. So you can come to the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, and click on the Hit Us Up link to enter for your chance to win some candy. So you can send us an email, which we really want, yes, through our Contact Us page, the Hit Us Up section. And also, you can post on our website.
We want you to post on our website.
Yeah, because we've got all kinds of articles up there. And we know that you can't agree with everything we say. I mean, we're usually pretty doggone right, but we want to hear that. We want to see that. So
not
comment.
To mention, no, we're not just putting this up because we've got nothing better to do. We're doing it so that you can engage with us.
Yeah. Engage us.
Yes.
You need to fertilize our open, budding minds or something like that. I don't know.
Well,
it's too early in the morning.
I just got a picture of a flower.
I know. Isn't it pretty?
I like, yeah, it sounds really nice. I see some like stars twinkling out of it when it like opens up.
Like morning dew.
Yeah.
It's happy
Any other
trees.
Business?
Happy trees. We're painting happy trees. Okay. We'll put a little shrubbery over here. Why require a shrubbery? All right. Anyway.
Back on point.
Oh, one other thing. We have successfully split our feeds. So now we have two feeds. We have one feed that's just a podcast-only feed. And the other feed is a reviews-only feed. So one, you get media. The other one, you just get to read and clicky.
So you get to have a mix between the two.
Yes. So if you're one of the people who gets the podcast but also likes to read our stuff, you need to add another feed to your respective reader.
Yes.
So you just want to go to www.electricsisterhood.com/reviews. And if you're using Live Bookmarks or Safari Bookmarks, you would just want to bookmark that page. If you are using an RSS reader, you need to add feeds.feedburner.com/ESH reviews to your list. You can go to the website. We have all the information there on how to add the other feeds.
So see, we make it easy for
you. We're making it easy for you. So you can get all of the goodness.
This isn't Chinese algebra, guys.
Yeah, mostly we did it because we were posting so much that we were bouncing our iTunes episodes off the playlist.
Wow.
So people kind of kick back on the subscribing because they're like, well, they only got one episode. We have more than one episode.
This is number seven. We're almost close to 10.
Lucky number seven.
We should do something really big for number 10.
I'm thinking about it. Well, the thing is, if we do something really big for number 10, what are we going to do at 20, 25? What are we going to do at 100?
Something really, really, really big?
We'll see. We'll do something for 10. I don't know what it's going to be, but we'll do something for 10.
Okay.
Actually, technically, 10 might happen while I'm up in Massachusetts.
It could.
Now that I think about it, 10 actually is going to happen while we're in Massachusetts, because next weekend's number 8. The weekend after that, I'm in Massachusetts, so that's 9. The weekend after that, I'm still in Massachusetts.
Yes.
That's 10.
Yay! Oh, this is so exciting.
So maybe we'll try to do a live recording somewhere for number 10 and maybe give away some anime or something.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to work on something. You know what I just realized? You laugh just like Peter Griffin.
I do.
Yeah, you do.
From Family Guy.
Yeah, you're just like, eh. I'm like, oh my God, it's Peter Griffin. My sister laughs like Peter Griffin. Oh my God.
That's very nice.
No, but it's funny. I love Peter Griffin's laugh. Are you kidding me? That's awesome.
Okay.
I'm not worthy. But that's all the business. So now I'm going to hand it over to you.
All right. Okay, guys. I've decided to do a little project, do a little tweaky-tweaky, a little worky-worky. And,
tweaky-tweaky.
You know, for the people who come to our site who are like, what is this stuff? What is so special about anime? What is this manga stuff? I don't understand. It hurts my brain. Ow, give me Tylenol.
I don't understand you.
So I'm going to go, and I'm going to break it down for you. I'm actually going to give a little bit of an introduction to the world of manga.
It's not manga. I'm sorry, I just had to do that.
There are so many different ways to pronounce it. I prefer manga. It sounds more close to the correct pronunciation, and we already know that I'm not the great at pronouncing a lot, so I work very hard on anything that I say.
You're not the great pronouncer a lot?
See, and I don't form sentences very well, apparently, either.
But the thing is, we know what you mean, and we know
what
you
mean. As long as you know what I mean, then we're good. But yes, to break it down, to be more precise, manga, the definition is comics. Generally, if you're outside of the Japan area, it's Japanese comics. The format, the drawing format of them changed and stayed to the way it is now, a little bit after World War II. There's some history facts for you. If you really want it, you can look around on Google. That's where I found it.
Google's the bomb.
It's the bomb. You know, with every, you know, like books and libraries, there are different genres. There are different categories. You can spend hours trying to memorize the whole system in a library. This is the same for manga, since it's in book form. Some of them are kind of in comic form, like magazines.
Uh-huh.
So it really kind of depends on what kind. If you really want to have a lot of them, you know, you could find the magazine kind where they're thinner. They're, you know, but, you know, I'd be worried to, like, bang them and, like, rip them and... So I tend to like the book form.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are, you know, standard, you know, way of opening them like we do here in the U.S., but some of them are reversed, you know, and I've come to notice...
Okay, so some manga open and read from right to left?
Yes.
Okay. As yes. opposed to opening the book to the left side, you would open to the right and read the other way.
Yes,
just to
exactly.
explain that for.
Okay. Yes. So it's kind of tricky depending on, you know, which ones you get, because some of them they open the right way, some they open the backwards way. And
we don't want to get into the right and wrong way. Let's just say that some open where you would expect to find the end.
Yes. And there's usually a big stop sign that says, no, you're opening it the wrong way.
Well, that's so nice.
They like to warn you because they want you to go, hey, wait a minute, I'm not at the end yet. You know, but yes. It's kind of bad if you get in the habit of opening it the way that you would expect it to, you know, because I'll be at college and I'll go to open my book and it'll be at the end. I'm like, wait a minute, wrong way. And I have to flip it around. So when you get to that point, you know, you really should assess just how much you love it, because when you start doing it, like, subconsciously, it can be kind of bad. I'm going to talk a little bit about shonen and,
okay.
and shoujo.
All right. So what is shonen?
Shonen... translated exactly word for word, like kanji to romanji, you know, it's young boy. And in manga relation, these are mangas or comics that are geared towards a male audience.
Okay.
There's a lot more action going on.
Okay.
Most of the characters will generally be male, though there'll probably be a couple of eye candy girls roaming around somewhere,
right, in order to reach the male market. That makes sense.
There's probably a lot of fan service. You know, for those who don't understand what fan service is, this is when, like, say in an anime, a girl in a school uniform is walking down the street and she trips, and when you see her again, you see, like, her butt and her panties.
Ah, okay.
Fan service.
Gotcha.
So anything that could possibly arouse your audience.
Uh-huh.
Fan service.
Okay. Good
you
to know.
Yeah. Yes. So you might hear people go, oh, yeah, that totally has a lot of fan service in it. That's what they mean.
Okay.
Yeah. So, things that tend to fall under the shonen category would be, like, your Inuyasha.
Okay.
You know, got a lot more male characters, there's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of action. There's a couple of girls in there, like I said, but it's more action-based, you know, to draw you in, like, oh, yeah, and fire you up.
Right.
Not that women don't like shonen. There are actually some shonen that will do crossovers, that they'll have, you know, they'll have a consistency of action and drama in that sense, but then throw in a little bit of a romantic element.
Okay.
Draw in a woman's interest to it.
Okay, so really like Inuyasha, where you have the whole love triangle going on with Kikyo, Inuyasha, and Kagome.
Yes, that's what a lot of women tend to be drawn into. Then again,
okay.
the whole mysticism thing
right.
also kind of draws people in too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not, you know, even though they're saying there's a difference between shonen and shoujo, you know, there's a lot of crossing over, so, you know, you might find guys who are totally up into, you know, shoujo stuff versus shonen stuff.
Okay, well, what is shoujo then?
Shoujo is the complete opposite of shonen. it's generally geared towards, you know, a woman audience.
Okay.
There's a lot more, there's like romantic comedy, there's a lot of drama, a lot of insightful stuff. Not that we're saying that guys don't like insightful stuff, but women are more geared towards that aspect of
life. Oh, they're more inclined to watch that type of thing.
So yeah, that's pretty much shoujo.
So what would be an example series of shoujo?
Let's see, I have a couple here written down. Well, one of the other things about shoujo that I want to mention is that, you know, there's many different tiers to shoujo. You know, you got like your clamp, which also can kind of be shoujo.
Well, what's clamp?
Clamp is there are a bunch of girls who they're a company. They draw manga. If you've ever seen Chobits,
nope.
If you've ever seen X,
nope.
Tsubasa Chronicles,
nope.
X-holics?
Nope.
Well, for those who have, you guys know who Clamp are. They're really good. They have very beautiful artwork, very detailed stuff.
Okay.
Generally, and a lot of their stories, technically, they're based in shoujo,
uh-huh.
But they have a lot of action going on in most of them. So.
So they can be classified as both as either or.
Like when I was at the convention here in Boston, they have I think Mystic was talking about the chess game where they were doing shoujo versus shonen.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having a problem with the main character from Chobits because over here, we're categorizing it as shoujo. But over there in Japan, it's kind of technically a shonen.
Okay.
Because of the action that's going on in the series. So she had a hard time knowing which side she was supposed to be on because technically she should have been shonen, but over here she's shoujo.
Yeah.
You know, you've got this overly cute, I kind of call it saccharine because it's just too sweet for like the mind. Because, you know, you've got your stuff like Clamp where, you know, you've got your drama, you've got your action, and then you've got your romantic, you know, atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
And then you kind of jump and say you go into a manga like Saint Tail, which I can do a review on since I've read it, which is totally, you know, saccharine, big eyes, you know, overly cute. Like, yeah. So you've got a mix of, it could be either or. So Saint Tail would be, you know, my saccharine version of shoujo. Miracle Girls is also, you know, very saccharine like. You know, I know the anime that you don't care for very, very much, Sailor Moon.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a little bit more action though. It's more
Darian.
Sorry. Yeah. It's more saccharine-esque. When you wanna start going into a more powerful shoujo where there's more action and more, you know, triangles of the romantic kind, you could jump into Revolutionary Girl Utena, which also, in some cases, can kind of be considered a shoujo-ai, which I'll explain a little bit about.
What does that mean?
Well, it's a term that can be reversible with yuri, which is, you know, comics and or manga that have where the main romantic interest is girl-girl versus girl-guy.
Oh.
Or yaoi, which is guy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So shoujo-ai is like equal to yuri, and shonen-ai is equal to yaoi. So you can interchange them, actually. So like for shonen-ai, Gravitation, that's a big one.
Yeah, that would definitely be big.
Fake is also a good one. My Sexual Harassment, which is kind of hentai, but you get the idea.
Have I never heard of this stuff?
You gotta dig for it.
Okay.
But, I've been trying to find some more shoujo-ai,
mm-hmm.
but you don't find too much. Like, technically, the love interest that's going on in Utena isn't exactly, like, in your face, like, oh my god, Utena's in love with Anthony. Like, it's kind of an, you know, indirect thing where you're like, I think so, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to really categorize it as a shoujo-ai because of that.
Uh-huh.
But the movie, totally yuri. Totally shoujo-ai. Totally.
Okay.
Let me see, what else would I want to talk about? Because I think for the most part, obviously within shonen and shoujo, you know, there's also the semi categories, you know, where it's, you know, horror, or it's a comedy.
Right, so within those categories, there are subcategories, is what you're saying.
Yes, and there's always going to be.
Like a subgenre of each of those main categories.
Yes.
So you have your horror shonen-ai, and you have your mystery shonen eye, that kind of stuff. Okay.
Exactly. So within that, it's like an onion. Onions have layers. So does manga.
I so thought you were going to say, so do ogres.
Well, they do.
Ogres have layers.
But you know what? I shouldn't even say onions because not too many people like onions. Let's take
parfait. I love onions.
I do too, but not everybody.
I'm not so big on the parfait.
Well, then, let me think.
You know what?
A good sandwich has layers.
No, I got it. I got it. Seven-layer dip has layers. I mean, who doesn't like a good seven-layer dip?
That does sound good. You're going to make me hungry.
I know.
But yeah, so that's the rundown on my manga introduction.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If you're just getting into manga, what would you suggest as starting points to figure out what it is that you really like? Where would you start?
Well, if I had collected anime before I decided to jump over into the comic region, I would look at the collection, if I was collecting it, to see what I gravitated towards from the animation, and then been like, okay, a lot of my stuff has mechas, there's lots of boys running around, there's lots of swearing, oh, there's a big boob chick somewhere. Then I'd be like, maybe shonen's the way I want to go.
Okay.
Like, so I was looking at my collection this morning, and my anime stuff before I went to my manga, and I kind of do it kind of funny, because I have some more shonen, shoujo mixing, crossing over, but a lot of my manga is shoujo.
I see.
I don't have a lot of shonen.
Gotcha. All right, so let me ask you this question. As somebody who's completely new, never watched any anime other than, like, maybe an episode here or there of something that popped up on Cartoon Network, but they're listening to the podcast now and they're thinking, yeah, I might want to check that out. What would be some of the titles that you would say are good places to start with manga? Would the Shonen Jump thing be a good place to start so that you can kind of see a little bit of everything?
I'd probably start with Shonen Jump.
Really?
Yeah. And you can find, like, excerpts from Shonen Jump, the magazine, like, in, like, New Type. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you're into any of those. Or you can even walk into a store that might have them and just read through it and look at some of it to see. Because, you know, I, for the most part, like, when I go for my manga, a lot of my manga doesn't actually, like, it's not the same stuff as my anime. Like, some of my stuff I've been collecting the manga because they might give me more of a backstory than the anime does.
Right.
But, you know, for the most part, I walk in and I look at the graphic novel section and I look for a title, to be honest. And I grab the first one of that title and I read it. And I'm like, if I don't like it, I don't collect it anymore. And I say, hey, does anyone like this? I can give you this copy because it's just not my thing.
Okay.
Like, I had like 18 volumes of Inuyasha.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Inuyasha the anime. And it just became very tedious to read. You know, and I actually gave all my Inuyashas away, which is shonen.
You like what? You what?
Yeah. A friend of mine was completely obsessed with it. And I said, hey, Merry Christmas. And I gave him all 18 volumes of my Inuyasha manga.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're breathing. We're breathing. Because we're not going to flip out that the sister gave the Inuyasha stuff away to a non-blood relative. We're breathing. Woosa.
But yes, Woosa. And he still has them. Love the anime. I wasn't grappled by the manga. So, for the most part, I just look for titles. Like, a lot of my titles are stuff that they haven't even made animes for.
Okay.
Like, they just started. They just licensed Exholics, I believe. Okay. And they're going to be coming out with an anime version of that.
Well, let me ask you about the title thing. When you're looking for a title, are you looking for titles based off of titles that you're aware of? Are you doing research on the internet to find out if this is a interesting title for you, or are you just showing up to, you know, like Barnes & Noble and looking at all the titles and grabbing the one that speaks to you?
Well, it depends on my mood.
Okay.
I mean, I might walk to a Barnes & Noble and, like, I'll expect, like, I keep track of when things are going to get released.
Okay.
So then I know the ones that I'm already, like, doing, you know, collecting. I'm like, all right, that one's coming out, let me grab that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that one came out early, let me grab that.
Okay.
You know,
so you do the research step part.
For the ones that I've already collected, but when I've gone through, like, one series, when I've collected it all, like, I have all the Love Hinas.
Uh-huh.
you know, and that's like 14 books. And I was buying those in bulk. But when I was finished with that, I said, okay, I'm like, I need something new. So I was looking and I was staring. I'm like, well, first of all, I'm like, what don't I already own?
And that's a very, very short list, people.
So I was like, all right, out of the things I don't own, I already eliminate most of the shonen stuff, some shonen stuff. Like, I'm not a big fan of One Piece, not yet. I haven't been drawn into it.
I don't like One Piece at all.
So, but I know people who are madly in love with it. I mean, I think if I watch the anime...
No, trust me, he won't get into the anime either. It's just, really? It's not... It's not, as far as I'm concerned, an enjoyable anime.
Oh, geez.
Like, I go out of my way to not watch it. Like, if I have a show that's coming on before One Piece, I will leave the episode before seeing the preview of the next episode because I don't accidentally want to get any One Piece juice in my brain.
Oh, jeez. Now, you see, a friend of mine had given me a little, an AVI file for a music video that someone did with One Piece stuff, and it looks kind of funny.
Oh, the thing is, the AMV stuff, I'm sure, is really good. I just don't find the story very intriguing. And
well,
so because of it, it doesn't hold my attention.
I think we're going to hurt
No, I mean, I'm sure that there are a lot of people that do find it. It's just that I, you know, if I'm going to deal with a pirate story, I want there to be a pirate story. Okay, to have a pirate who got powers because he ate gum fruit. Right there, I'm already going, huh.
Oh, I see.
Okay, so then we get into the episode, and the characters are drawn a little cutesy, and they're really kind of characteristics of pirates, and you know I take my pirates very seriously. So
yes,
it's already getting off on the wrong foot with me. And then this pirate, the really super sweet guy who tries to do the right thing but wants to get this one pirate's treasure, whatever it is, has the ability to be super, super stretchy.
Oh.
Yeah. Because he ate the gum fruit.
Okay.
By accident. It wasn't meant for him. It's meant for this other pirate.
Oh, I see.
It's just too cutesy for me.
Okay. So,
You hadn't gotten into One Piece yet, and you were hoping that maybe the anime...
Yeah. So, I mean, but when it comes to the title, like, And it's really bad because sometimes you'll get into a series, like in a manga, like there's one that I was collecting called Under the Glass Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had these for maybe 2 years now, and I've only had volumes 1 and 2 because they have not released 3. And like the story was really funny, which I liked. It was the animation style that I prefer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, It had the love interest, but these two brothers, they were like inventors and like magicians, warlocks really.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and they were like, oh well, we have to go and do this, we have to go, and one of them's a big womanizer.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's kind of quiet.
Gotcha.
And there's this girl who's like madly in love with the womanizing one, but the brother who's reserved is in love with her.
And
he's trying to get with her and she's trying to get with the other brother, and the other brother's like, fuck it, I want your mom. And yeah, so like I was really like hooked in, and by the second one I'm like, so what happens? And they stopped. I don't know if they're like they're backtracking and they haven't, but I've had these for 2 years and they still haven't released the third one.
Oh my gosh.
I
want to read that.
I'll let you borrow. Yeah.
Good.
And there was another one that I have, Shutterbox. Same idea. Beautiful story, nice artwork. It even had a slight goth tinge to it.
You know how I feel about the goth stuff.
Yeah, I think you'd like Shutterbox over Under the Glass Moon, actually. But they only released 3 of the manga.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't even finished the story. You're like, oh my god, what's going on? So, I mean, but I always look for a title that I'm like, and then I grab it and I read the back.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, maybe. You know, and then usually when I go buy something, they're like, oh, well, if you buy 3, you get another one free. So I'm like, shit.
Yep.
And I go and I do that.
Don't you hate that?
Our mother can attest to that.
Because you go in and you just want to get this. And they're like, oh, if you buy one more, you'll get 50% off. And you're like, damn it.
Damn it.
I can't not get the 50% off. They know my weakness.
Yeah, they do. And the bookstores around here, they all know me by first name. And they're like, oh, we totally have some new stuff in. Go check it out. I'm like, I'm already there. Don't even have to tell me. That's awesome. But yeah, but that's it. I would say, you know, if you've got time, you know, spend some time. Because, you know, when I go to these you know, graphic novel sections, there's usually like 4 or 5 people sitting on the floor reading them.
Okay, so you can probably, if you really get lost, you can, there's most likely somebody around that you can ask some questions and and get into it. Okay.
Yeah. So I would, you know, I'd say if you have time and you're just shopping, you're not with friends who are like overly obsessed with, oh my God, I totally have to go buy like a new tube top because my old
one.
Like, if you're not with those kind of people who have to constantly move, walk to your bookstore, walk into your graphic novel section and just stare. And look, and eventually your title's going to be like, and you're going to grab it, you're going to look, and maybe it's a hit, maybe it's a miss. It's like dating, only you don't buy your dates unless you're really pathetic.
But that's another podcast, and so we'll move on. We'll move on from there. Well, that's really good information.
I might post a better introduction to it on the site,
just
for people who might want to reread into what I've been talking
about. Well, you know, and they may want something that they can print out and take with them, and
that I might kind even of put thing. Like little lists underneath them to give you an idea of what falls where.
Yeah, you might want to do that. Make a list of maybe like 5 or 6 shonen and shoujo titles.
I could probably
titles.
Even use my own anime collection as a reference.
I'm sure you could.
Okay.
I'm well, sure that's... you could. Well, I mean, seriously, sis, you're like, what, 4 or 5 titles away from being able to do, like, your own rent manga online website where you rent out your personal collection?
Well, see, my goal is to have, because I put everything in alphabetical order, I want to have at least 2 series of each letter.
Okay.
That's my goal.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I'm missing a couple of letters, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff. I appreciate that because I really myself haven't gotten into manga just because I didn't know where to start or what I would like, but this is a lot of good information, so I think I'll actually be able to get started on that real soon because I would really like to read some titles.
Oh, I got some that I know you'd definitely
because
like.
They canceled my damn comic book that I was reading. I was so upset. Yeah, the new Batgirl one that I started out with freaking comic number 1, they ended it. So now they've been sending me, like, Birds of Prey to fill out my subscription, and I was just like, ew. No, I want my Batgirl back. Bring back Cassandra Cain. I liked her. But anyway.
Well, that's all the stuff that I've got for you guys today, but now it's Ninja Sisters' turn to step up and...
Whoopee!
Yeah.
Do my thing.
And do your thing.
Because my Spock hand is strong. I've been saying that all week for some reason.
It's catchy.
I think it's because I've been watching so much Next Generation Trek this week. So it's just like...
All right, well then break it down for us, girl.
Break it down. All right, if you've been to the website this week, with all the changes that you've been noting, you probably came across a article that I did called What a Girl Gamer Wants, I think. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but I think it's a pretty decent article. Basically, I've been reading a lot of things over the past couple of weeks, especially since E3, about how the industry really wants to reach out to girl gamers to encourage more females to get into gaming and on all the levels. But they just weren't sure how to bridge that gap. And I'd been reading a lot of articles where people were saying, we talk to girl gamers and they tell us all the things that are wrong, or they write about all the things that are wrong on their personal websites and things like that, but no one ever says what a solution could be. They all say what they think is wrong, but none of them then offers what the solution could be. So I took it upon myself, as a girl gamer, to come up with some of the things that I thought would be a solution that would encourage more girl gaming.
Okay.
And so I wrote the article, and basically I said, you know, the reason why you don't have more female gamers is because most of the games that are out are geared toward a male audience. You know, girls can appreciate the bimbos, but we don't want to see ourselves reflected as just bimbos, as just eye candy.
And you're here.
And the majority of the games that are out there explain away behavior. So you can only have a strong female character if she was in the military or as a mercenary. That's the only time you can have a fully clothed, badass female character. Because otherwise, most of the female characters are really just there as fan service. See, I'm using one of your terms. Okay. So they're nearly naked. They are just overly endowed in the breastorial area. They don't have a lot of dialogue. And, you know, they're characters that you can just throw away.
Yeah.
And no female wants to see themselves or play a character that you can do that with. You know, while on the guy's side, there are a lot of characters who are overly, you know, who just there as eye candy.
Yes.
Not a whole lot, but there are some.
There are some.
On the same token, there are games where the male characters are characters that you want to be like. That are, you know, you've got your Master Chiefs. You've got your Dantes. You've got your Solid Snakes. You got, I can't remember his name, but the lead character from the Hitman series. So you have all of these badass characters that you can identify with that are just awesome. They're not naked. They're not pouty-lipped. They don't have huge cod pieces. Well, except for Batman and Superman, but that's another podcast.
Yes.
And they're smart. They're witty. They're strong. And then you also have games where you're just playing an average guy. But even that average guy is, you know, kind of built. He's kind of handsome, even if it's in a, you know, 5 o'clock shadow, gritty kind of way.
Yes.
And has some kind of gravitas about him. Either he's out to save the world or just save himself and is the reluctant hero. And on the female side, we have the girls from DOA.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And before you get into the whole, well, you've got Lara Croft. Here's my thing with Lara Croft. Lara Croft started off as big titty, hot pants, Lara Croft. Yes, she's smart because she's reading tombs and she's witty, but it always boils back down to her physique first.
Yeah.
And then the story
first
afterwards.
First and foremost.
And female gamers don't want to be seen that way. You know, we want to be seen as the strong, witty type and that we can have clothes on and still be sexy and attractive. In games.
Yeah.
And we want to have games that we can actually come to care about the characters in the game and get involved on that level so that we want to play the game more, so that we get more of their stories, so that we have more time to interact with them. You know, so I say develop an action type game with a female character who doesn't have a double D set of boobs.
Yeah.
We all know that gravity affects boobs, but, you know, they don't have to bounce like a diving board. Make this character smart without having to be mousy and wear glasses. Make her strong without having to be in the military, okay? You can be strong and not be a lesbian and not be in the military.
Woo!
Not that there's anything wrong with being a lesbian or being in the military.
No.
I got lots of love for lesbians and people in the military.
Me too.
Okay. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you want girl gamers, you need to make content that addresses us, that engages us on more than just a visual level. Because unlike guys, most girl gamers, we don't need to see the same thing over and over again. The same visual doesn't intrigue us. If we've seen something once, we don't need to see it again because been there, done that, we can move on. Yeah, it's cool,
yes.
But I don't need to see myself, you know, ripping a guy's leg off 15 times in a row to realize, dude, that's awesome. I can rip your leg off.
Yeah.
We kind of get it on the first go round.
Then again, with, like, God of War, I kind of liked, you know, stabbing my sword through those Minotaur's heads.
Oh, yeah. But the thing about God of War is that Kratos is a character that has such an intriguing story that you get engaged with Kratos and his story and why he's doing all the things that he's doing, more so than what it is that he's actually doing. Because, you know, the first time that you go through the reaction sequence with the Cyclops, it's new, and so you're really into it. But once you do that a couple of times, the subsequent Cyclops things, I found I was just getting through the button and focusing on the reaction sequence of buttons more than watching the actual animation of me ripping the Cyclops apart.
Yeah, good point.
Because you've seen it, and you've done it. So now it's just a step to getting through the story.
Yeah.
Because I found myself just trying to get through the levels and watching the visuals that were going on, because God of War is a gorgeous game. But at the same time, I was focusing more on getting through the level because I wanted to get to that next FMV so I could get the next part of the story.
Yeah. Hear, hear. Same, you know, here.
So that, I think that that's really what girl gamers want. And it was really funny because the day after I write this article on our website, and I'm not saying that I was inspiration because I'm not. I am humbled. It's just a coincidence. There was a story on CNET News about Sherri Graynor Ray doing the keynote at the Sex and Video Games conference in California. And she basically said everything that I just said. And everything that was in my article. She said it a little more eloquently than I did.
Well, I'm sure she had a little bit of a while to prepare it,
well,
too.
You know, being a game developer herself for 16 years, working for Sony, and working for Cartoon Network, a little more polished. You know, when you're given a keynote speech, you probably work that thing through a couple of drafts.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But she also had some pictures, but basically said the same stuff that I just said, that, you know, female gamers don't want to be represented as oversexed, over-endowed, under-intelligent characters. It's just boring, and it's not engaging. And that what you really need to do in order to get more females into gaming is engage them on more than just the visual level. And she actually had this one quote, and I thought it was great. But she said that basically that most games are like bad boyfriends. They are too involved with their own male sexuality to even try and crack the female sexual code. And that's so true. I mean, pick up God of War that we've been talking about, okay? Almost all the females that appear in the game, with the exception of Athena, their titties are exposed. I'm sorry, breastises are exposed.
Hey, not necessarily true. Aphrodite and Artemis too, because they were faces.
Well, they were just heads.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't know that their titties weren't exposed. We just saw their heads. We didn't get to see the rest of them.
Yeah.
They could have been all nipples out.
Yeah, but we didn't see it.
Exactly.
We don't know.
The Oracle, nipples out. When we pull into Athens, what do we have? We got the two hoes on the bed, nipples out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, very true.
Okay. And I was like, ooh, there's nakedness in this game.
No, really?
I was like, huh, imagine that. Do-do-do-do-do. But the story was enough for me to stay in there, even though it was just like, well, and those are just not even proper boobs, because they're just too perky for them to be that, you know, because my mind goes to, that's not right. They should kind of, like, sag a little bit more and, like, spread apart a little bit.
And the nipples spread, they would have taken people's eyes out.
If we were to be realistic, you know, boobs that big, they're not that perky.
No, they kind of...
Unless they're silicone, like, and I sincerely doubt that they had silicone breasts in Athens.
They're like flotation devices to the side.
Yeah. So, you know, it's very true about that comic. A lot of video games are just like bad boyfriends. And the only way that you can deal with a bad boyfriend is you either got to break him of his habits or you got to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And I think that's really why a lot of girl gamers, or a lot of people who could be girl gamers, are not. Because they just don't want to spend the time to break the habits.
Yeah.
When it's easier just to not get involved in the first
place.
And
chuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
Give them the boot. Boot to the face. Nah, nah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's a big thing, and I hope that people in the industry take Miss Ray seriously, I should say. And
well, we do.
And a lot of the girl gamers who are out there that are writing articles and saying the same things, because we enjoy gaming just as much as the next guy. We enjoy blowing shit up just as much as the next person.
Yes, we do.
You know, if you frag us, do we not curse? I curse like a sailor when I get fragged. Oh my God. But again, that's another podcast. So I hope that we start to see more characters that reflect us. Like I mentioned in the post, you know, if you've never played Beyond Good and Evil, you really should, because I feel that it is one of the games that's come out in the past few years that actually listened to some girl gamers, because the lead character is a very strong, very smart female, but she's not naked.
Yay.
And unfortunately, the game didn't sell very well because the guys no likey to girls that are not naked.
Yeah.
Personally, I feel that Beyond Good and Evil has the best camera that I've ever used. It has the most fun, witty plot that I've ever played in a game. It has a character that is smart. It's an interesting new game. You really ought to play it. I wish that they would do a sequel to it, because I don't think that it got the shot that it should have.
Probably not.
But there needs to be more games like that. Because I guarantee you, with games like that, the girl gaming part of the community will just exponentially explode.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm clapping. So I don't know if you can hear it. But
I can hear you clapping. I can hear you clapping in my soul.
Oh.
Because I know you feel me.
Yes, I do.
So that's the first part of my game thing. And now I get to the part that is the reason this podcast episode is called Sporticus.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard about this game called Spore.
No.
Well, you need to stop living under a rock, because Spore is going to be huge.
Okay.
Spore is going to be so big, you're going to need like a whole garage apartment just to put Spore in.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know who Will Wright is?
No.
Well, that's a shame for somebody who plays all of his games like crack. Will Wright is the creator of the Sim games. SimCity,
The Sims. I just started playing Sim.
Well, every time I talk to you, you're like, I gotta go take care of my baby. I'm just gonna delete the baby, because I don't got time to take care of the baby.
Let's not talk about Sim abortion right now.
I know. Jeez. It's a hot topic issue. I know it's a hotbed issue, so.
I cried about that the other day, now that I think about it, because I got fired from my job. But that's beside the point. That's another podcast.
Okay, so you're Will Wright, and you're just doing all kinds of money and all kinds of creative stuff, because there's just, I don't know, like 15,000 Sim games out there? I don't know. Sim car, Sim city, Sim pets,
Sim the herbs.
Yeah, Sims, I'm going to flunk out of college. Sims.
Yeah.
Sims learning to drive. You know, there's a lot of Sims games, okay?
Yes. Yes.
And I've played the herbs, and it's addictive.
No, really?
I understand. I spend more time cleaning out my damn hot tub.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
But I have a bomb.
You should get a robot that cleans it for you.
See, the thing is, in the herbs, you don't have robots.
See, you can get robots. Cleans my house.
In the herbs, I got to clean my own hot tub. But I got like a 12-person hot tub. Like, I have a hot tub room. That's awesome. My herbs joint is the bomb. But anyway, I'm digressing. Will Wright's been working on this game called Spore. It won, took a bunch of honors home from the 2005 E3. It was the best in show at the time in 2005 at E3. And basically, Spore, it was originally called Sim Everything. So if that doesn't tell you anything about it, it right. should. What it is instead of starting off as a human being, you start as a single cell organism floating around in the primordial ooze and stuff.
No way.
Yeah, and you have to then make decisions to decide what kind of species you're going to be. So you get to create a very limited character at first. And then you have to go out onto your planet and earn evolution points in order to
evolve.
And as you evolve in the creature creator, you get access to different levels of body parts. So you can spend, you know, your first 10 evolutions on perfecting your mouth or perfecting your arm or developing a claw or things like that. But as you evolve on your planet, so do the other inhabitants of the planet. So first you have to evolve to a being that can actually roam the planet. Then once you get to that stage, you have to evolve into a being that can survive on it. So you have to make sure that you don't make too many choices that make you good prey for other beings on the planet. Then you have to become the dominant species on the planet, building towns, vehicles, progressing, socializing, all that kind of stuff. Then once you get to that point, then you progress into space. So you have to start a space program, you have to create vehicles that can actually go out into space, and then you can go to other planets. Well, here's the thing.
Whoa.
When you go to other planets, there are some that are going to be downloadable content, so you'll be able to download other people's planets from the internet, and then go onto their planet, and I'm thinking, you know, you could probably dominate their planet too. If your species is cool enough, so then you can have multiple species, or you can have multiple planets. You know, you can be a deity to some smaller planets and that kind of stuff, or you can start an intergalactic war with
that
other planets.
That is amazing.
Once you get to the point, I know, it gets better. Once you get to the point that you're in outer space, you can then pick other planets in your galaxy that are not inhabited and start putting species on those planets and kind of foster them and watch them grow and see if those species that you seeded out there then become the dominant species or not on the planet.
Oh my God. That's pretty bomb, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Spore is going to be huge because initially most of us thought it was going to be just a PC-only title.
Right.
And GameSpy has an interview with Will Wright that was done on May 11th. I'll put a link to it in the notes for the show. But he's like, no, actually, what we're going to do is it's going to be available on the PC first, and then we're going to all the consoles. So you're going to see Spore on the PC. You're probably going to see Spore eventually on the Mac. You're going to see Spore on the PlayStation 2. You're going to see it on the Xbox 360. You're going to see it on the GameCube. You're going to see it for the DS. You're going to see it for probably the PSP. Since most of these things have online components, you would be able to actually travel in real time online to other people's planets and destroy them.
Oh, wow.
Or land on them.
So we're talking about
a massively multiplayer online Sims game, basically.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Talk about like,
I was so depressed.
World domination.
Exactly. And I was so depressed when I first heard about this game because I was like, son of a bitch, it's going to be PC only. And I'm not buying a PC just so I can play one game. Because, you know, I'm Mac to the core.
Yeah.
Shout out Apple.
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn, well, maybe if I could get somebody to buy my PowerBook, I could buy one of those MacBooks and put XP on it so I could play Spore. And I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. So I was like, well, maybe I can get somebody to donate a MacBook so then I can play Spore, because I have to play Spore, but I can't buy a PC because I don't have any money, and I want to play the game. And I was so depressed. So when I was writing this thing, I'm like, you PC people, you don't know how lucky you have it.
You guys get everything you guys want.
You finally have something where I'm genuinely jealous that I'm not going to get to experience. But then I found that article on GameSpy, and I was like, woohoo! I can put it on my 360 when I get it. If I get it, I can put it on my 360. Yeah, yeah. Hot damn.
Nice song.
Thank you. I just completely improv that, by the way. It just came to me. I'm good like that. I get inspirations and I just roll.
You roll with the punches?
Mm-hmm. So if you haven't heard about Spore, you've got to check it out. You can go to spore.com and they have this really cute flash animation that runs and shows you the, like, basically the different stages of your little animal. And there's some video on there that you can watch. And if any of that doesn't convince you that you need to play the game, then you're just crazy, because you do.
You're a jackhole.
Yeah, because Spore is going to be huge. It will probably get most of my time when I actually can play it. It's going to be the game that I'm going to be playing when we're recording podcasts. Okay, that's how big Spore is going to be. I'm just going to be sitting there like, yeah, so tell me more about the hentai anime. And I'll just be sitting there playing with my character, trying to evolve his stupid claw. Like, come on! Get smarter!
Yes.
I gotta get into space! I gotta get into space!
Thank you, Ninja Sister, for making me feel good that you're actually listening to what I say.
Oh, I am listening to what you're saying. You know I am. You know that was mostly just a joke.
Mostly.
I can't lie. Anyway. Sometimes my attention gets pulled away for a second or two, but that doesn't mean that what you're saying is not interesting. Everything you say is interesting.
Thank you.
No problem.
So do we have any questions this week, or?
We don't have any questions from the website this week. My question to you is, since you just got into playing the sim games, mm-hmm. with the other games that you play a lot on your PC and on your console, do you find that you're attracted to games more that are like The Sims than, say, brawlers or fight, like traditional arcade fighters?
That's a good question.
Because I've been thinking about that a lot lately, especially since reading all the Spore stuff.
Well, I mean, when, you know, it depends on what kind of gaming mood I'm in.
Uh-huh.
You know, like sometimes, like I just put the PS2 back down on the big TV.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Are you preparing for my arrival?
Well, I figured I should have it down here anyway.
Because I'm bringing games, girl. I'm bringing games.
So, no, but I also kind of like the surround, like the way the setup is in the living room now. Yeah. So, it's like, as much as I like having the game upstairs in my room, I'm like, you know, like, I like it on the big TV.
That surround sound on a 32-inch TV doesn't suck. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. So, you know, when I'm in, like, you know, my fighting mode or my RPG mode, you know, I'm definitely all up in my PS2.
Mm-hmm.
But once in a while, you know, I'm like, I don't feel like playing one of those. You know, I kind of feel like living but not living.
Uh-huh.
Which is why I go to The Sims.
Right.
And I could play Sims for hours.
Yeah, see, I'm the like, same and not way.
Even, and not even realize that it's been a lot of hours. Like, you know, Mom will be like, get off the computer. I have to talk to my friends. And I'll be like, wait a minute. I'm almost done getting my charisma points. Hold on. I might get promoted soon.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And, you know, but,
I can see you doing that too.
I only play a couple of games on the computer because I had to get a new drive.
Yeah.
Because it burnt out.
Yeah.
The first one burnt out on me.
Well, you know, if that happens when you have Hewlett pukers. I don't like HPs. I've told you that from the get-go.
Yes. But I mean, so I had The Sims on there. Sims uh-huh. Unleashed, to be precise, because you get to play with puppies and kitties and birdies.
Mm-hmm.
I just got that reinstalled on the new with the new drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Diablo
mm-hmm.
2, Lord mm-hmm. of Destruction expansion pack.
Mm-hmm.
Booyah. And I just uploaded onto my Mac, actually. Ooh, Mac. Plug. My 14-day trial of World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to put that on my Mac, too.
Yeah.
I've been trying so hard not to do any gaming on my Macs, but I'm like, I gotta play Warcraft.
I'm surprised.
It's time. It's past time.
Yes. The funny thing about it is that you get 14 days on it.
Uh-huh.
And then if you want to keep it, you know, permanently, they can just charge it to a credit card, and you have to put that information in for the free trial anyway, just in case you decide that you want to keep it.
Yeah.
And I totally think by the end of my 2 weeks, I will probably most definitely want to
keep it.
Yeah.
See, that's what I've been trying to stay away from, but I'm like, I gotta play Warcraft. If I put this on my Mac, you're gonna have to send me your information so I can track you down.
Okay. Because I haven't even made my character. I just put it on my external this morning.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
I guess that means we know what we're going to do once we wrap this up.
Yeah, probably. Because, see, I don't have an install CD for the free trial.
Oh, I have another one that has a different code on it.
All right. Well, send it to me then.
Okay.
So I can try it out, because I just have to suck it up and do it.
Okay.
Suck it up and drive. No. Well, I think that's really about it as far as I have questions. So I would say that the podcast is done. Now, if you have any questions or comments on anything that we talked about this week, you can hit us up via our website at www.electricsisterhood.com and click on the Hit Us Up link and fill out the form and let us know if you agree on something or don't. You also use that same page to enter our weekly sweepstakes.
You could get candy, bitches.
You could get, I like that. You could get candy, bitches. Yeah, candy's hot.
Candy's yummy.
Candy is yummy. And it has a cute little saying on it. I mean, come on, people. Free M&Ms, really.
Real. Who doesn't like M&Ms?
Oh, and there's no peanuts, so you don't have to worry about any allergic stuff. It's just a straight-up regular milk chocolate M&Ms.
Yeah.
And you can also call us on our toll-free number, 1-888-333-8985, and leave us a message to let us know, hey, you know what? I agree with you on ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Or, I think you're completely wrong. One Piece is the most awesomest anime ever. It's not.
It's the worst piece of crap
that I've ever seen.
Don't say that.
Oh, I'm saying it. One Piece. Hey. Do you know? Look. Let me put you like this. If I had a choice between Sailor Moon and One Piece, I'd pick Sailor Moon.
You know, we might lose a lot of people. I know a lot of people who love
One Piece. We're not going to lose anyone. You want to know why? Because all those people that love One Piece, there's an anime that they absolutely hate, and it's probably something that a whole bunch of other people like. Not every anime is for everyone. I'm just saying that One Piece isn't for me.
Okay.
Okay? If you're 12, One Piece is right up your alley.
Okay.
I'm not saying that you have to be emotionally retarded to like One Piece, but it helps.
Ninja Sister.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did that come out of my mouth? Maybe yes. I'll edit it out. I doubt it.
You should.
I doubt it. No, I'm serious. If you don't agree, let me know.
Oh, I would be surprised if you get some now.
That so sounds like something else.
Anyway,
you can contact us through the website or through our toll-free number. Again, that's 1-888-333-8985. The website is www.electricsisterhood.com. We look forward to hearing all of your comments.
Yeah.
No, bring it. I dare the One Piece people to come out.
Stop it.
No, I'm daring them. Come out, call us up, and tell us what you think. I dare you. Come to me, little One Piece people. Defend yourselves or shut the fuck up. All right. So anyway, this podcast is toast.
It's toast.
What kind of jam do you want to put on it? Because I had a thought.
What was your thought?
Let's mix it up this week.
Okay.
Let's put cream cheese on the toast.
Ooh. Dude, I could totally go for a fucking bagel.
A bagel, the fox? This I must see. Because I have the bad accent. Oh, ho, ho. Now I'm French. Steiner! I don't know.
Okay.
Steiner!
Anyway.
I'm okay. Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out.
And we're out.